Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. We wanted to start right out with a quote today from President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, and it's from General Conference, October 2010, and it's entitled, Of Things That Matter Most. Here it is in his own words.
There is a beauty and clarity that comes from simplicity that we sometimes do not appreciate in our thirst for intricate solutions. For example, it wasn't long after astronauts and cosmonauts orbited the Earth that they realized ballpoint pens would not work in space. And so, some very smart people went to work solving the problem. It took thousands of hours and millions of dollars, but in the end, they developed a pen that would write anywhere, in any temperature, and on nearly any surface. But how did the astronauts and cosmonauts get along until the problem was solved? Well, they simply used a pencil. Leonardo da Vinci is quoted as saying that simplicity is the ultimate sophistication.
We wanted to share that quote with you about simplicity today because we have a special guest who is recently in the studio with us, whose name is Fisher, who is doing just that. He is making family history, which, let's be honest, it can seem a little daunting and a little overwhelming sometimes, simple and fun. And he's doing that by hosting a new radio show here on the Mormon Channel called Extreme Genes. Fisher, welcome into the studio today.
Hey, thanks. Good to see you, Lise.
Tell us about Extreme Genes.
It's a brainchild I've been stewing on for some time, and it's meant to be entertaining, informative, inspirational, funny, I mean, all kinds of stuff, because family history research and the stories that come with it are not the dull thing that people think come from libraries and just sit with old people who, this is fun stuff, and everybody from kids to seniors get a lot out of it. In the first segment, we typically go through some of the news that we found that happened over around the world involving family history, maybe from a little gazette down in Georgia to the London Times to a newspaper in New Zealand. Maybe there's a story about a World War II bride and how she met her husband as a result of a plane crashing in her front yard during
oh
the war.
Goodness.
These are actual stories we have on the show. And then other tales about, for instance, a ring that was given to a guard at a POW camp during the war by an American POW who needed chocolate. He was starving. He turned in this ring that had been given to him by his parents and custom made for him. And after the war, he survived. He felt embarrassed that he had given away this ring for food. And yet the ring took on a life of its own. It made its way from different people, and they were able to track down his family and return it to him. These are the kinds
wow.
of things we find, and I think it's intriguing to everybody to hear about it and get people excited about learning about their own stories.
Because it can be fun. It doesn't have to be boring.
Oh, no. It's not boring.
Not at all.
And we get a lot of experts in who'll talk about things like DNA, which is the new science that helps us to break through some of these brick walls that all of us run into from time to time in various lines, and digitized newspapers, how to use them, where to get free access to some of these millions of pages that give you the detailed stories of people centuries ago that may be yours.
I actually had the opportunity to listen to one of your episodes where you talked about the DNA, and it was fascinating.
Yeah,
so
it's really interesting stuff because it will tell you in many cases, you know, where your ancestors were, what part of the world, where they moved to. The science is absolutely amazing, and we like to talk to experts on that relatively frequently because of the fact that it's changing and growing and the things they can do with it you wouldn't even think of. Where they're going to be a few years from now, I have no idea, but it sure is fun.
It's an exciting time to be involved in family history.
Yeah,
so many
it really
things
is.
Are happening.
And we teach you also about preservation, different types of medium that you may have. Maybe you have an interview on a cassette tape with great-grandma back in the 1960s, and you don't have anything to play it on anymore. We'll tell you how you can digitize these things and how you can also salvage old home movies and even make photographs from each individual frame in a home movie. I've had it done for myself, and it is absolutely unbelievable.
I'm getting excited to listen to more of these episodes. It
Good.
Sounds really fun.
It is fun.
How did you become involved in family history?
I lost my dad when I was a teenager. and his only brother passed away a short time later. And so several years later, when I got married, suddenly I had my own kids on the way, and it's like, well, I really ought to know about the family. And so there was that big hole that I wanted to fill. And of course, as I was focusing on these new young children coming along, it's like I didn't even know what to tell them other than what I knew about my dad. Yeah. And so I went about researching it and interviewing the very oldest people in the family when I was only in my 20s. So I had some of those cassettes and got stories, kind of basing it on something my mother once said that I really liked and have grasped onto, and that is that when a person dies, a library is burned.
It's
and
true.
It really is. I know it's somebody else's quote, but I attribute it to her, and I'm sticking to that story. But, you know, if you keep that in mind, the clock is always ticking that when you lose somebody, you lose so much knowledge of the past. We like talking about preservation, discovery, and the new techniques that are being made available all the time.
That's really interesting because you never know when someone might pass away unexpectedly. You think,
right.
Oh, I'll do that later on down the road. But then all of a sudden one day, an accident happens or illness strikes and then they're gone.
They're gone. And so are their stories.
Yeah,
and that's
exactly.
The thing. And you can only then try to, you know, recreate that from others who knew them, but you're not getting their point of view on that.
Right.
I always told my mother if she didn't write her own story that I would write it from my perspective. And I thought that would be incentive enough, but it wasn't the case, unfortunately.
Well, it's one of those things that sometimes is kind of hard to get to. We always think, oh, I'll do that tomorrow or I'll do that when I have more time. And
do it now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, it is more important for people to do it when they're young than it is later because you have more resources available to you who are still living.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So where does your family come from?
I'm from the East. I had a lot of ancestry from New York City. You know, they started way back in the 1600s. I had a second minister among the Dutch. And then I have some lines that go up into New England. I had four people who were on the Mayflower. I have people in Germany, in France, in Scotland. I got a few people back there going back to the time of King James from the Bible, you know. And so it's been fun because it keeps branching out. And I never expected some of the countries that have come up on my tree.
And it's fascinating to learn about them. You realize more about yourself and who you are as a result of knowing who they were.
Absolutely. We all stand on their shoulders, and others will stand on ours. And you know what? There's never been a better time for doing it because of the technology. I probably could have done everything I did my first 25 years in the last five because of all the stuff that's online now. I could have done a lot of other things.
Well, and Family Search is putting out so much information
yes.
right now, so it's a great time to be involved
yeah,
in family
and that,
history.
And that's one of the kings, and there are many others out there right now at the same time, so it's getting bigger and better. And we talk about all those resources and the free places you can go to for people who can't afford some of the subscription ones. Family Search, of course, is the biggest, but there are many others as well that'll give you all kinds of great information.
So what are you hoping that people who listen to Extreme Genes will do? Are you hoping that they'll...
Well, what I'm hoping is they'll catch the fever of this and enjoy some of the benefits of it, as I have and so many other people have. I love hearing other people's stories. You know, it's easy to share your own, but that's what excites you is your own. But I like hearing other people's stories. That's why we set up a find line, which is 1-234-56 genes. And you can call in and you can record your story and we may use it on the radio show.
That's exciting.
It is exciting. The more people call in and the more we hear from their stories, I think it's incentive for a lot of other people to get going on it or to pick up where grandma left off. And you can pick up on so many things that she may not have been able to solve back then because of the new technologies.
Where did the idea for the name of the show, Extreme Genes, come from?
A couple of things. First of all, I like the energy and the quirkiness of the name that kind of helps people understand this isn't your grandma's family history show. This is meant to be interesting and fun and energizing and informative and, you know, and all those things. The name itself came from something my mom and I talked about at one time. She was from the West Coast. Dad was from the East Coast. She was of one religion. Dad was from another religion. She was of one political party. He was from another political party. And she said, well, face it, son, you have extreme genes. And so I'd always kept that in mind. And it seemed to fit what we were trying to do with this show.
That's so great. So we should say that it's genes, G-E-N-E-S, and not genes, J-E-A-N-S.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, you wind up with a really crazy clothing store.
Exactly. We're so excited to listen to this program on the Mormon Channel. Thank you.
Well, excited to be part of it, and thanks for having me today, Lisa.
Thanks for being here. It was so fun to interview Fisher and have him on the show, and we were lucky enough to be able to hear a couple of the accents that he does. Actually found out he can do more than 100 different accents, which is amazing. I think that's so cool. Anyway, so be sure to check out Extreme Genes, which is our latest show here on the Mormon Channel. And with that, it's time for us to close, but thank you for being with us today. If you have any suggestions, comments, or inspirational stories you'd like to share with us, send us an email at mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall as well today. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day we'd like to leave you with today is entitled Take It Home, and it's featuring Jen Blossel. Thanks again for being with us. Have a wonderful day.
What would happen if we took off our masks, peeled back the labels, tore down the walls we have? What would change if we just saw each other as children of our Father? Out there it's easy to get caught up in our lives. Here we all can feel the sparks of truth ignite. We can keep this feeling burning inside if we carry it together. We can share with one.